Father, we look to you tonight. Holy Spirit, I'm relying on you. You've given me a message, and I pray that you will guide and direct these lips, my thoughts, my heart, and help me, Lord, to make the message clear to where everyone understands it. Just let your will be done, Lord, in all of our hearts. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I got to mention just something little. I think it was a week ago Monday. Pastor asked me if I'd speak tonight. So I went home then, you know, to go to bed. And I'm laying there in bed. And I get this thought came to me. Just a few words. The day I died. Okay. So I'm laying there thinking on that a little bit. It came again to me. The day I died. Okay. It came again the third time. The day I died. I said, okay, Lord, I'll get up and write it down. Because that's what the title of the message is tonight. And then he brought together a message. And I was off on Tuesday, so I had time to sit down and study and, you know, and get the message together. Because the rest of the week, and it's been between the food bank and all the different things that were going on. I mean, we were full up to here, you know. It was very, very busy. And I thank the Lord for being with us, too, because we did really well on the food bank stuff. But anyway, so the title of the message tonight is The Day That I Died. And I want to make this statement. I picked it up from somewhere else. The only way to be prepared to live is to be prepared to die. So the only way to be prepared to live is to be prepared to die. And we'll get into some meaning there and what we're really talking about there. I'll be talking about several different things. One of it's going to be your calling, my calling, our calling, and, you know, what God has done in and for and through us. And maybe to give a little more understanding on what's really involved there. So I'd like to start tonight with looking at Isaiah 53. We look at the one who came down from heaven with a calling that was greater calling than anyone on this earth has ever had, and that was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 1. Who has believed our report revealed? The Lord is very powerful. The arm of the Lord, you'll see that in Scripture a lot of times. The arm of the Lord is very powerful. And I believe here it's showing us that the arm of the Lord really is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the arm of the Lord. He's the one that does things. Verse 2, for he shall grow up before him. Speaking about Jesus, will grow up before the Father as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, the interesting thing in all of this, because of man's sin, man had to die. Because of man's sin, there had to be blood shed for them to take care of that sin. And it's interesting. So it says, for God so loved the world that he gave the only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. The interesting thing is, the Bible also says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It's like this had to happen to cover the penalty of sin, but he joined with his Son to reconcile and to bring it to pass. It wasn't just God, well, you're going to go down there and you're going to do this and this and this, you know. No, he was in the Son reconciling the world to himself. Hallelujah. Now, it was a day of agony. Luke 22:44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I believe when Jesus came down and he knew he was going to be suffering from the very early in his life when he was growing up, he knew that one of the things that he will have to do, he's going to have to suffer for this penalty of sins. And I believe the hardest part wasn't the cross. I don't believe the hardest part for him was the stripes that he took on his back and the beatings and plucking out the beard and all this stuff that they did to him. I believe the hardest part was the sinless Son of God who never had sin, never experienced sin in his life, had to take the cup. And that was what he prayed for three times. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass through me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He had to take that cup and literally become sin with my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world. I believe that was the hardest part that he had to do. And he was in agony on that. And it said his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And there's a rare physical phenomenon known as hematidrosis, in which under great emotional stress, the tiny blood vessels rupture in the sweat glands and produce a mixture of blood and sweat. And I believe that was the stress of all that. It said his sweat was even as drops of blood. So that is what he suffered for us. Isaiah 50, verse 5 through 7. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. You know, if he would have messed up in one thing, if he would have did one sin or something, the sacrifice would have been no good. And we would still be in our sins. He had to be perfect sacrifice. And he had to live in perfect sinless life in order to be that sacrifice. And to do that, it says he set his face like a flint. I will not be moved. I'm going to accomplish this for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Who for the joy that was set before him? He was willing to endure the cross, despising the shame. And he got to sit down to the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Making intercession for us forever and ever and ever. So I believe your calling is not in one instance. It didn't just happen at some day. Okay, this is your calling now. I believe your calling came way back. And I'm going to look at some of this here in a minute. It's progressive. This calling is progressive. Even while you were in sin, even while you were walking out there in the world, you had that call in your on your life, and God was bringing it to pass. Why are you here tonight? Who do you think brought you here? Who do you think was involved in your life that brought you all through all that bad stuff that you were involved in and I was involved in? And you'll see that here a little bit more. So your calling, it's progressive. We are still walking into our calling. It's this calling is from Jesus was fulfilled his calling. It happened all the way from birth to death. And it was a journey of obedience to the Father. He was fulfilling the scriptures in perfection. He knew early on what would be required of him. And he set his face like a flint to accomplish the plan of redemption for mankind that only he could do. It involved suffering and death. There was no other way. He lived to please the Father and accomplish his work, and not to do anything except what the Father wanted him to do. He only did what he saw the Father did. He only spoke what he heard the Father say. He did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. And in like manner, we have been called to do the Father's will and to accomplish his purpose for our lives. And there's a purpose, there's a reason for it. Jesus, we see what his purpose was, and he accomplished it, and then he rose from the grave, and he went on, and he's at the right hand of the Father even now, making intercession for us. So Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And if you're not doing the will of our Father in heaven, there's a very good chance you're not going to make it. You have to do the will of our Father. You have to. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, we've done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So the will of God for us has to come out of relationship. Yes. You better hope that the Lord knows you. And you need to know Him. You need to work on this relationship. We need to grow closer and closer to God, day by day by day. We need to put our trust in Him, and we need to walk with Him, and we need to develop that relationship with Jesus Christ. So Ephesians 2:10, you know, what is the will of God? Well, let's look here at Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship. Whose workmanship? God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the good works that we are, the will of the Father is to do the works that God prepared for us to do. The will of the Father is to do the calling that He's called us to do. And we need to be doing that. And Proverbs 3:11 and 12 says, My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. Now, if you go back in your mind to where you were first born and you were growing up in the world and you weren't serving God and you were serving the devil, you were walking out there in the world, you're doing all that stuff, and the Lord was still working in your life. Because He brought you here tonight. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. Just as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. Now, you didn't just become perfect or serving the Lord, and now God's given you a calling. No, the calling was way back there. Romans 1:1-6. Paul. Remember about Paul. He first started out as Saul. Now, was he doing the will of God as Saul? I don't think so. He was persecuting the church. He was putting people in prison. He was causing people, the Christians, to be put to death. No, he wasn't. But you know what? The calling of God was upon that man, and the Lord changed him, just like He changes you and I. Hallelujah. So Romans 1:1-6 says, Paul, who used to be Saul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. That was his calling. And his calling happened way back. He didn't know it then, but his calling was way back there when he was still Saul. And maybe you don't know your calling for sure yet, but your calling is still there, and the Lord will reveal that to you. He will let you know what that is. Called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. I like that. Separated to the gospel of God, which He promised before through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through Him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Yes. You also are the called of Jesus Christ. And when you look back in Psalms 139:16, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. So where did your calling begin? Way back there. Way back there. And God has brought you through everything that you've gone through to this place here today. And God's going to take us all the way through to victory to be with Him forever. Hallelujah. So that's when your calling began for you. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith and the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, there's something about the language here. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. There's also another possible word, of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God. And who gives us the faith to even believe for salvation? According to Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, it's God. We get that little bit of faith. It doesn't take a lot of faith. Just takes enough to get saved. He gives us that faith. It's a gift of God. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Hallelujah. When you were born with the old nature, all of that, it's all gone. Hallelujah. It's under the blood. It's all passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have a new route to go. You have a new walk to go. You have a new experience. You have a new relationship to build. Hallelujah. All things have become new. Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us before him, before the foundation of the world. That goes back a little ways, you know? Before the foundation of the world, he chose you and I into we should be holy and without blame before him and love. So he knew you and he chose you. Hallelujah. So our calling has to flow from death to ourselves, and to live for him alone. Are we willing to step out of our comfort zone and obey what he's asking us to do? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to take up our cross and follow him? Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. You see, are we willing to die if need be? That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being conformed to his death. Are we willing to crucify the flesh and live to please him and fulfill God's plan for us that will bring great glory to him? Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. You need to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So that's how we're to walk out there in the world. Lowliness, gentleness, long suffering, bearing one another in love. Oh, somebody did something to me. Get over it. Hallelujah. Get over it. There's more important things than you getting yourself all wrinkled up, okay? Hallelujah. Bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this is important. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And he himself, who's God? We're talking about the Father. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, building up the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that we no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things and into Him who is the head, even Christ. That's what we're to do. We're to grow up into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which each part does its share. Now, every part of my body has to do its share in order to make this body function correctly, right? Well, every one of us are part of the body of Christ, and every one of us has to do our share to work and make this body work correctly, which causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So, pastors and everyone are equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. They're, all these ones are doing that for us. But then it gets down to the faith, which causes growth for the of the body, for the edifying of itself. See, we can be edifying ourselves. Pastor and teachers and evangelists and all these people are building and edifying us up. And we grow up enough to where we can edify ourselves. We can encourage one another. Hallelujah. We can build one another in love. Not in discipline, in love. Hallelujah. Do you realize what the pastor's job entails? This scripture is his job description and can make sense of what the pastor does. But I've noticed one sad fact in today's world. For the most part, there seems to be no sense of commitment in people's lives. People won't commit themselves to anything. You know, you need to have somebody to do this. Oh, I can't do that, because they don't want to commit themselves. They're not willing to commit themselves to anything. I'm going to go on here. I got something else. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So we're to go, not just get people saved. No, we're to go and make disciples. So how can you make disciples if people won't commit to becoming a disciple? How can you make disciples if they're not willing to commit to being a disciple? Pastor's trying to teach something, and he's following a stuff to build us up. And there's some keep missing out, and they lose perspective. Years ago, I had a wonderful pastor. He was very deep, and you had to follow along with him, because he'd be preaching one thing, then he'd be building on that with another thing, then he would be building on that. And if you were asleep or wasn't paying attention here, you'd miss out on what he was saying. I grew under him. I just thrived on him. So if you weren't paying attention, you miss out on what he was preaching about. So some people didn't like him because he's just too far out there. No, the problem was they weren't paying attention, and they weren't growing. But I loved them, and I really grew in the Lord. And I've noticed that many people today will not commit themselves to be there faithfully, and extremely difficult to teach them if they miss out. Pastor's trying to, he's following a regimen of building blocks and everything that make us more like Jesus. And if you're going along and you miss this, well, I feel like coming to church today, so you miss out. Well, then here he's building on something that was built here. You didn't get that. So you're out of luck, And so it's like there's holes, and it goes on, and there's a hole here, and there's a hole here, and there's a hole here. And then you wonder why you're not growing in the Lord. I'm just laying it out there, folks. I'm just laying it out there. We need to be grounded in the Lord. It comes, the Bible says, line upon line, precept on precept. So if you're not here, if you missed the line here, then you're missing. And it's a blank spot in there for you. And it was probably a very important point that you had to learn. It was probably a very important item that you needed to apply to your life. And if you weren't there to cover that, if it's a blank, you're missing. And it has to be line upon line, precept on precept. It's like going to school. You go to a class, maybe it's math or something. So the teacher will teach you this particular deal. Maybe it's addition or whatever, So he's teaching his students. And then next week he's going on and he's going to be teaching something that's a little higher. But if you don't have this back here, you won't know what he's talking about. And that's a lot of times what's wrong with the students in our schools, why they're not learning. Because they're not paying attention or they're not there. They're not showing up for one reason or another. So we need to be grounded and we need to set our roots deep. It's when we set our roots deep in God that we can stand the storms of life that come our way. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:22-24. And that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And it's not Jesus that puts it on. You put on the new man. You have to do it. You have to do it. You put it on. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to know the will of the Lord. If you don't know the will of the Lord, then you need to be seeking the Lord and get in the Word, and you need to talk to somebody find out. If you don't do the will of the Lord, you might not make it. And a relationship. We have to have a relationship. I don't want to get up there and have Jesus say, well, I never knew you. I don't want to do that. I want to get up there and say, well done, you good and faithful servant. I don't want to miss out. Ephesians 6:10-13. Getting into some interesting stuff here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So the Lord gives us armor to put on, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, all those things, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he expects us to use those, because the devil's coming after us. If he hasn't already, he will. Hallelujah. So we need to be ready. We need to be able to protect ourselves. Ephesians 3:8-12. We're talking about a mystery here. This is interesting. To me, in verse 8, to me who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. This had been hidden in the old times up until Paul here reveals it. The Lord opened up Paul's understanding and he received that. So make see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, what to? To the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So we're to grow up in the Lord. Paul exposed, made it come alive on the fellowship of the mystery. And this is given to the church that it might be made known by the church to the principalities, not by God, to the church. The church is the one that makes it known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So just as Job went through suffering and loss, he didn't realize that God was using him to show to the devil that his ways are right and they work. And so what Paul's saying here is the manifold wisdom of God needs to be made known to the principalities and powers by the church. That means the church needs to have that. The church needs to believe that. The church needs to step out and use those things that we might bring glory and praise to God, that we might let the principalities and powers just where they are. There's a line here, and you're not crossing it. Hallelujah, because God's given us the victory. And when we do that, when we reveal to them, when we're faithful to obey God, we bring great glory to him. And we're revealing God's wisdom to those wicked powers that say, you don't have authority over us. You cannot touch us because the principal, because we're against you. We're in the victor's seat. Hallelujah. So we need to stop trying to please ourselves and seek to please the Lord. So a death is called for, and your calling is to follow after him and to bring great glory to him. So are you willing to die to self and give yourself over to him, to be used by him to bring great glory to God? It's a question I ask you tonight. You'll have to answer that. The only way to be prepared to live is to be prepared to die. You want to know, I'm afraid to do that. Well, that's because you weren't prepared to die. You see, if we get this thing in the right perspective and in the right order, if you are prepared to die, you won't fear to live for him in total submission without fear. Without fear. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you will touch our hearts. God, that you will wake us up to the great power and authority that you have given your church. Lord, help us to see with our eyes and hear with our ears, Lord, that which you declare to us. And I pray, Lord, that we will be workers together with you to accomplish your plan and your purpose, Lord, in this world that we live in. Help us to bring great glory to you, for you are worthy, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you do for us, all you do through us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will take this message and that you will burn it down into our hearts, and that we might know that what we're supposed to do, that we might know what our calling is, Lord, that we might know what our position in Christ is, that we might know that we have authority over the enemy. And God, give us great victory, Lord, to reach out and to teach others also. I pray, God, that you'll give us a holy boldness, Lord, in our hearts and lives. And when we go out the doors of this building, Lord, let's pretend over the doors you're entering your world. You're entering your mission field. Lord, let us go out into our mission field under with your anointing, with your power, with your might, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be the people that you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, to demonstrate your power, your will, your plans to the enemy, and let them know, Lord, by what we're doing, Lord, that they cannot come against us in Jesus' name. Lord, bless your people tonight. As we go our several ways, I pray, God, that you will touch our hearts, Lord, and just draw us all close to you. Help us, Lord, to get into a deeper relationship with you. Help us to be willing to cut out those things in our life, Lord, that are hindering us walk with you, Lord. God, just accomplish your purposes, I pray, in our lives. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name.